You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Hello, tutti frutti, but never snooty beauties and cutie patootie, possibly from Djibouti. This is Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. Today's show is episode 161. And of course, I'm your humble host, Karen, and we are your pro session of proactive, prolific pros, providing pros and programming about professors and prostate.
I'm Colin.
I'm Dana.
And I'm Chris. Djibouti, formerly known as, what was it? French Somaliland.
Yes. Yeah.
Right? Really? It came up in trivia.
It just came up in trivia last week.
Yeah. It used to be known as French Somaliland, and then it was known as... Something else. What was the other one? Colin's going to get it for us.
That sounds so random. French Somaliland.
Yeah, it was originally... It was at one time French Somaliland.
Yes.
Then it was the French territory of the Afars and the Issas.
Yes, that's right.
And then after that, it became the Republic of Djibouti.
Yeah.
Oh, so the full name is Republic of Djibouti.
That's right.
Not just Djibouti.
That's right. That's true for a lot of countries. A lot of them are Republic of whatever.
So I guess I should have said, actually myself, not originally French Somaliland, but formerly.
Yes.
Yeah.
At one time was known as.
Previously known.
Yes. Yeah. Came up in trivia and we got it wrong. Yeah.
We guessed Central African Republic.
Yeah.
Because it sounded administrative in 70s. Like, oh, something that changed the name. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Before we dive into the show, we need to do a quick, this is a very happy installment of,
actually,
which is our corrections and or omissions segment. So yes, two episodes ago, we were talking about comics and comic books, and I had a quiz for you guys about Marvel villains. Are they real villains or are they made up villains? Mm-hmm. I would read you the name and a short description. One of the villain supergroups that I put in there was the Hell's Bells, B-E-L-L-E-S, which I had described as a gang of costumed, sexy criminals with sort of demonic uniforms, and that I had said that that was fake, and that Hell's Bells was fake. But as listener Chase wrote in to tell us, no, Colin, there was actually a real Hell's Bells.
I cannot believe. Yeah,
I believe it.
I believe it.
And in fact, you know, as I was doing the quiz, I was like, huh, Hell's Bells. Maybe I should have fact checked that one a little bit better. So yes, indeed, in Marvel Comics, in the pages of X Factor, there was a female mutant terrorist group. Called Hell's Bells, B-E-L-L-E-S. So technically the one I gave you was fake.
Yeah, because it's demonic.
Yeah. I will retroactively award all of you guys half a point credit. And thank you to Chase.
I'm pretty sure I got that one right. But go on.
I feel like 100% credit is in order, but all right.
You know, the judge has spoken. I'm sorry. Yeah. All judges' decisions are final in the court.
That is so
actually
good. I can't believe it's like Inception. It was like you... It sounded so good. And it was fake.
It was fake.
Turns out it was so good, it's also real. Well,
I mean, I can't take too much credit. There are only so many puns in the world.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. All right, so thanks for writing in that awesome actually, Chase. Quick update, and this is something that we keep updating. Back in the Let There Be Light episode, which is not that long ago, there's been a lot of development with, Chris, you mentioned the walkie-talkie building in London.
This keeps happening.
This keeps,
keeps coming up.
Different update.
Yeah.
So not only was this building a death ray maker.
We had downdrafts also.
Downdrafts.
Right?
And now the London walkie-talkie, thanks to Nikki Metcalf who tweeted us, has been judged in the winner of UK's worst building.
Yay! I can't imagine what second prize went to.
Has won the annual Carbuncle Cup. big C's. Big Carbuncle. Yeah, Big C Carbuncle, Big C Cup. Awarded to the building judged to be UK's worst. So congratulations.
I wonder if it won on the merits of the death ray and the
yes.
Downdrafts. Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Well, so death ray because it melted cars.
Yep.
They fixed it. They fixed it.
And then the wind
come for the death ray, stay for the downdraft.
Right, right. Yes. You may feel intense searing pain if you stand underneath this building, but just wait, because when a slight breeze picks up, gale force winds will blow all the hot away.
Yeah. Yeah. They'll throw you to the ground.
It's like a dare.
Yeah.
It's almost like you go there for a dare.
See, it melts your shoes, then it pushes down and it sticks you to the pavement.
Oh, congratulations, walkie-talkie Yay. Building. And let's jump into our first general trivia segment, Pop Quiz, Hotshot. Here I have a random Trivial Pursuit card from the 90s version.
All right.
You guys have your barnyard buzzers, and let's buzz in and play some trivia. Here we go. 90s. Blue Wedge. What Richard Linklater film about stoners was hyped as, quote, a movie for everybody who did inhale? Colin. Yeah.
I'm going to guess Dazed and Confused.
Correct.
Yes.
That's a good movie.
It's yeah. not going to be a Scanner Darkly.
No.
I like that movie.
All right. For Pink Wedge, what NBA star claimed he was misquoted in his own autobiography titled Outrageous?
I know this one. I will let someone else guess.
Oh, is this Dennis Rodman?
Incorrect.
Oh.
Oh, Andre Agassi? No.
NBA
star.
NBA star.
NBA.
It's somebody who's known for being outspoken.
Yeah. But not Dennis Rodman. In the 90s, yeah. In the NBA, somebody
Shaquille
who
O'Neal?
Being Mm-mm. outspoken.
Yeah.
Colin.
Well, let me officially guess here in case I'm wrong. I think it's Charles Barkley.
It is Charles Barkley.
That's
misquoted in his own autobiography.
Missed an opportunity with, like, bark is worse than his bite or something like that.
Right.
Yellow Wedge. What was the first nation to entirely dismantle its nuclear arsenal?
The first nation to completely dismantle. Let's see here.
90s?
Yep.
USSR?
Yep. Incorrect.
No. Oh, okay.
Chris?
Canada.
Incorrect.
It's not a bad guess. I mean, it's none of the current powers, Japan. Right? They all still... Oh, that's... No. They didn't have an army. Yeah.
Right.
All right. Time's running out.
We don't know.
South Africa.
Interesting.
South Africa. Oh, another geography one. Purple Wedge, what Asian capital was buzzed to host the first Starbucks outside the United States? Colin.
That's Tokyo.
Correct.
Yeah.
Tokyo, Japan.
Tokyo, Japan.
Tokyo. Got it. Green Wedge. What Aussie rock star persona did Garth Brooks adopt for a 1999 album? Colin.
I believe that is Chris Gaines.
Yes, it is Chris Gaines. And I did not know he was supposed to be Australian.
I had forgotten that part. Why? Why do you need to have the two layers there?
Keith Urban?
Did he sing the songs with an Australian accent?
No.
Interesting.
He sang just different songs.
Interesting.
But he's like, he just wanted to try on his Australian accent.
Right. Just
like,
for show.
Good day, mate.
All right, last question. Orange Wedge. What, quote, fully functional body organ had a high bid of $5.7 million when eBay finally pulled the plug on the auction?
Whoa.
Fully functional
body organ.
Fully functional in quotes.
Oh, in quotes.
Okay.
Fully functional.
A liver?
Incorrect.
Is it John Wayne Bobbitt's penis?
No. But that was a good answer.
It wouldn't be fully functional.
I don't know.
That's the quote.
It depends on what function you have in mind.
That is very 90s. Good job.
I'll guess a kidney.
It is a kidney.
Oh, that makes sense.
Oh, so just somebody was just auctioning
like,
a kidney.
Hey, I have an extra kidney. You can have one.
It's in a Ziploc bag. Yeah. I don't know.
Somebody at eBay is like, we have to expressly add no body parts
They shut it down.
To a growing list of things you cannot put on eBay. Mm-hmm. All right. Good job, brains. And don't forget, our Good Job Brain live show is going to happen in October.
Soon. If you're listening to this, you better get your tickets.
Yeah, because most people backlog the episode, so.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, no.
If you're listening to this in November, we're really sorry.
Yes, Good Job Brain live show. Man, we have two tiers of tickets. Early bird completely sold out, so get your general admission now. You can head on to our website and find the link there, or you can go to our bit.ly link, which is bit.ly/GJB Live and get your tickets.
What day is it? October
the 3rd,
which is
Saturday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Whole family can come.
Yep.
For some family
fun.
Lovely
San Francisco, California.
At the New People theater.
In Japantown.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. Lots of things to do. Lots of lots of places to
make
eat.
A day of it. Yeah. Make a day of it.
sounds great.
Obviously, we're going to be there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Live show. We're going to have audience games. We're going to have trivia segments. We're going to have swag bags for everybody. Come on down.
Woo!
Well, I just came back from Anaheim, and I thought it was hot there, but now that I'm back in Northern California, man, it's hot.
It's even worse.
It's hot.
I'm not running around in a churro costume like some people I could name. However,
yeah, search for that Disney run churro.
I think
costume.
I believe it's hashtag Karen Churro.
Karen Churro.
I dressed up as a churro.
She did.
Yeah. For my race.
It's amazing.
You scented the churro.
It was scented. The costume was scented.
Well, how else are you going to know?
Nothing if not about the details.
Well, yeah. So
it's like, is this a churro or poop?
It's
a churro.
That is exactly why I made sure that this thing reads and smells and experiences like a churro.
It experiences
who has star-shaped poop?
But you know, it's like a running vertical brown
starfish.
Log. Like, you know what I mean?
All right.
Yeah.
But it looks like a churro.
Okay.
Well,
it really
does paper
look like a
churro. Yeah, a little jacket.
Transparent
paper.
Yep.
It's either an awesome churro or someone's terrible at making a poop costume.
Right. it's sprinkled with sugar. Not real sugar, but...
No, not real sugar.
But real cinnamon scent.
It looked good. Yeah. But especially because I'm running the race, that I'm a blur. I don't want people like, man, someone dressed up as like a turd.
Right.
For a Disneyland race.
Yeah.
Also, you ran in that thing.
Yeah, I did.
And that looks really hot.
Right.
It was okay. It was pretty fun.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's hotter up here.
Yeah.
And you're not even wearing a churro costume.
I know. Like, Colin's cats are melting.
They're absolutely melted.
They look like they're liquefying.
I periodically go over and just kind of poke them with my toe to make sure they're still breathing.
So, in the spirit of Colin's melting cats, I thought it'd be fitting if this week, this very hot week, we talked about things that are liquid, melting into liquid. So put on your ponchos, people, because people in the front row are going to get wet. Dreams are hopeless aspirations and hopes are coming true. Believe in yourself. The rest is up to me. Yeah. Don't go chasing waterfalls.
Please stick to the rivers and the lakes that you're used to. All right. I'll kick us off today with some liquids, some fictional liquids. To be more specific, fictional beverages.
Oh.
So. Drinks that were mentioned in works of literature or film or TV. So you guys have pads of paper.
Oh,
in front of you.
Write down.
Oh, okay.
We'll do a write down. We'll do a write down. I tried to pick things that everyone could possibly know because it's so specific. Like these characters were drinking this specific brand of beverage. What brand of beverage did they make up? I'll give you a beverage name and maybe a few details about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you write down what work of fiction it comes from.
Okay. Or universe.
Or universe as the case may be. All right. First one, butterbeer. All right. You guys are all ready. Karen's writing a lot. Let's see. Oh, Colin says Harry Potter universe. Karen says Harry Potter. Chris says Harry Potter. Harry Potter.
Oh,
of
good
course.
Job, Colin.
Harry Potter universe.
I don't need your condescension.
Don't you?
Okay. I'll just take the point.
How about this? Victory Gin.
Whoa.
This is from a novel.
Uh-huh.
And it's a cheap, low-quality drink supplied by the government. Supplied by the government is maybe the biggest.
Down. I wrote them down before they hit.
You knew the answer right away.
I just want to make sure.
Good
that
job.
We all, yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm. All right. Got it. All righty.
Victory Gin. All
right. Mm-hmm. Colin says 1984. Karen says Hunger Games. Chris says 1984. Yes. 1984.
See,
part of their propaganda. It doesn't taste very good, but it is Victory Gin. All right. Maloko Plus. And,
I don't.
I'll take the hint.
Okay. So it's drunk by the protagonist to get him in the mood for I do now.
Oh, so many clues.
All right, you guys ready? Yeah. Clockwork Orange, Clockwork Orange, Clockwork Orange. Yes.
Yeah.
Clockwork
it means milk
orange.
In Russian.
I was just talking about this book with a friend of mine. I remember reading this book in high school and thinking, so you know, he's got a glossary in the back.
Yeah.
And it was such a chore, like flipping back and forth until you memorize all of the.
Right.
Yeah.
How about this? Laughing Clown Malt Liquor. And I'll give you guys a hint. They were a prominent NASCAR sponsor in this 2006 film. Laughing Clown Malt Liquor.
Oh.
I think if we get within range.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Colin says Talladega Nights, the something something. Karen says Talladega Nights. Chris says Talladega Nights. Yep. Talladega Nights, the ballad of Ricky Bobby.
So I just put yeah. Ricky Bobby. I was like, I don't think that was the name of it.
Close, yeah, it was close. Clear. Clear you knew. Yeah.
How about this? The Flaming Mo. It's several alcoholic beverages mixed together with children's cough syrup. And it's set on fire before serving. Which is, I guess, the difference between this and Syrup. I don't know. Everyone says The Simpsons.
Words we're teaching the kids.
Everyone yeah. is right. All right. Alamo Beer.
Alamo Beer.
Yes. That's a big hint. And it's the favorite beer enjoyed by the characters on this cartoon.
This cartoon?
Yeah.
How come you guys all know?
I like how I know the everybody's making that contact.
I know the show it's from.
Wait, this cartoon they drink. Oh, okay. Because I was like, kids' cartoon, they don't have beer. And then.
Well,
Karen, you know, old grown ups watch cartoons, Karen.
Exactly, which is why I got to my answer.
Everyone says King of the Hill. Yes, King of the Hill.
And
they're set in Texas, so Alamo Beer. How about Girly Girl Beer? This is also from a Fox show. It's the lead character's favorite beer. It's the official beer of his anti-feminist club.
Anti-feminist club?
Mm-hmm. He's a malefactor.
Wow.
All right. Colin and Chris say Married with Children. Karen says Family Guy. It's Married with Children. Family Guy is a good guess. That was
Family Guy was a good guess.
But that's, what is it? Pawtucket Patriot Ale? I believe.
Yeah, I'm sure they have other beers made in that factory.
But it's not his favorite.
Al Bundy, the character we were referring to there, yes.
No, ma'am.
Yes.
The anti-feminist organization. I forget what it stands for.
No, ma'am.
No, ma'am.
Okay, a couple quick ones. Blue Milk.
Do we even need to write this down?
I mean, can abbreviate it. Star Wars. Colin says Star Trek, so he's not right.
No.
But Karen and Chris got it right. They said Star Wars. I'm shocked, Colin, that you got it wrong.
I put the little tongue out face there. Yeah. Face,
yes. Indicating sarcasm.
How about Slurm?
Yay!
A highly addictive soft drink. Yes.
Milk comes from a cow's behind. Honey comes from a bee's behind. I can quote that whole episode.
Everyone says Futurama. Futurama, yeah. Yes.
Karen could. Slurms McKenzie.
Slurms McKenzie.
Potty. All right.
How about this? Frobscottle. This is from a Roald Dahl book. It tastes of vanilla and it makes you whiz pop. Maybe whiz pop is a hint. Colin says Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Karen says Willy Wonka. Chris says the BFG. It's the BFG.
Oh, the BFG. Wow. Good job. Oh, man.
Whiz popping is farting.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. The bubbles in, what was it called? In
Frobscottle.
Frobscottle.
Yeah.
The bubbles go down. So instead of making you burp, they make you fart.
Make you whiz
popping.
Yeah.
And it's the funnest.
I was really into that word when I was like in fourth grade or something. Anyway, how about this? Old Dusseldorf. This was a private detective's favorite beer, and it was kept in his mini fridge. This is an 80s TV show.
Oh.
An 80s private detective.
Oh.
Everybody's making a face. You guys were all alive then.
It's true.
I'll give you another hint. I bet all of your moms watched this show. I bet they did.
All of our moms watching the show?
Yeah, because the guy's hot?
I don't know.
I'm not your mom.
Could be.
80s private... I
got it.
Oh, okay.
Colin says Moonlighting. Yeah. Karen says Magnum P.I. Chris says Moonlighting. Magnum P.S.
Yeah, of course.
Those shorts, that mustache.
Yeah. I had already written it down. I was just like running through my mind. I'm like, okay, yeah, no, Magnum P.I. As soon as I saw it, Karen,
How about Schatz Beer?
Oh, why does that sound so...
Schatz with a Z at the end. Do you guys want a hint?
Yeah, I mean, no.
Okay, Colin says
hints
no.
Hints are now we've been given hints. So that's fine.
Okay, yeah. What's the hint? It sounds so familiar.
The title characters were employed there.
Oh, okay. Well. Okay.
Everyone says Laverne and Shirley. Laverne and Shirley.
Dun, 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 dun.
Schatz Beer. So this is the last one.
All right.
Vitamita Vegemin. It's a beverage that contains vitamins, meat, vegetables, and minerals.
Oh, yeah.
And also alcohol. It also contains alcohol.
A high amount of alcohol.
What? I don't know. I'm guessing.
Colin says, I love Lucy. Karen says, Hitchhikers. And Chris says, 30 Rock. Mm-hmm. It is I Love Lucy.
Wow. Yep. But all of our guesses.
I had heard it before, but it's like I never like seen the episode. So
this is
like
a great episode of I Love Lucy. Yeah. So like she's pitching for it and she's having to do repeated takes and she's getting drunker and drunker as she's doing the pitch. And it, I mean, it's just a masterpiece of physical comedy on Lucille Ball's part. Yeah.
It's a tongue twister to start with when you're sober. And then, yeah.
Nice. Now I'm thirsty.
Good job, you guys.
So I started thinking about liquids, which is a large category of matter, quite frankly, trying to think of some, what am I going to talk about? And I started thinking about honey, because of course, we talked about honey on the show before.
Yeah.
I think we
had lots of cool honey facts.
A great slam dunk with our segment about bees. Bees would be good for this episode.
Yeah.
Bees eating M&Ms and then producing blue honey and all kinds of stuff. So it got me thinking, this must be, like, going out and getting honey out of beehives must be a very old human activity, right?
Yeah.
Like, this must go back a long way.
Yeah.
Turns out that, in fact, there's a cave painting that was done in Spain, or was not Spain at the time.
Sure.
It was just cave.
Land.
That's
proto-Spain.
What is now known in your Earth language as Valencia, Spain.
Oh.
That very clearly depicts someone climbing up a tree and reaching their hand into a nest to get honey and honey or it's somebody playing high lie. I think it's somebody with their hand in a bee's nest. This cave painting could be, because of course it's very difficult to date these things, could be up to 8,000 years old.
Wow.
So we're talking millennia of people going and getting honey. And so over the millennia, this evolved from, roughly speaking, let's go out and find a beehive, to what if we were to create holes in trees where the bees might go and make a hive that, like, really inviting, you know, for rent areas in trees that the bees would be attracted to, so that we don't have to go looking. We can just go check the holes we made and maybe there's a beehive.
From hunting to farming.
From hunting to sort of like rolling the dice farming to finally,
farming.
To finally like creating, to like building the beehives and putting the bees in there and making sure that they'd stay in there. Right.
Yeah.
So honey hunting, here's the part where it just gets crazy. There is a family of birds and they have the family name Indicatoridae.
Ah.
Which what?
Their common name of these birds is the honey guide.
It shows you, indicates where the honey is.
Right.
Oh.
One word.
Oh, like
honey, the honey guide. Indicatoridae. Yes. Chief among these birds, this family of birds, is the greater honey guide, who has the amazing Latin name of Indicator. That's his Latin name. Honey guide birds are one of the few birds out there that eat wax.
Honey.
They don't want the honey. They don't want honey at all. They're interested in eating like wax or like wax worms or like, I mean, they eat insects. And stuff
so like,
that.
So they like will, the walls nutrients. Of the honeycomb as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Huh. And there's a lot, beeswax, beeswax. The bees are careful to not let the honey guide birds into their nest because it is
made of
none
wax.
Of their beeswax.
Okay. I was waiting for it.
Thank you.
Yeah. I was waiting for it.
It blindsided me.
Waiting 161 episodes.
Yeah.
That totally blindsided me. I did not see that dad joke coming.
And, you know, and in my head, as you were talking, I was like, was like, why do they say none of your beeswax? Is it because it sounds like business? And then you said it, and I was like, oh, my God.
Yep. So anyway, the honey guides cannot actually get in there. They will get, like, probably stung to death trying to go in.
Oh, wow.
So the honey guide birds over the millennia developed a fantastic, fascinating evolutionary behavior. They will go, and they will find a human being, and they will be like, hey, in a certain manner, like, follow me. And
look at me, look at me.
They will fly conspicuously or, like, you know, make themselves very conspicuous as they go from, like, tree to tree or flying to get the human to follow them. And the humans learn, oh, these birds will lead us to honey.
They train the humans to follow us.
That's great.
And they will do certain calls and things like that to try to get their attention. And so they get the attention of a human. And so, of course, you know, the tribes and things like that are listening for these certain, you know, bird calls. So this is actually is still practiced today by societies like the Hadza, which are people who live in Tanzania. Mm-hmm. And they follow after the birds, and the birds lead them to the hive. Then once they get to the hive, the humans smoke out the bees.
Yep. Yeah.
Because you smoke to dull the bees will not, like, they'll still sting you, like some of them will, but
they just
mostly
don't like it.
They'll be lulled into a torpor. You know, they will not. Mm-hmm. Yes. So then they reach in and they probably get stung some, you know, but they reach in and they pull out the honeycomb. And they basically take it all out of the hive, thus pretty much like killing the hive at that point.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's something the honey guide, you know, could not do. And so now the honey guide can potentially go in and get the scraps that the humans leave over, but the humans get the honey, the bees, the birds get what they want.
It's like his finder's fee.
Yeah. Yes. Now, what's really interesting is they're still doing research into the human and honey guide relationship, and there are some, like, disputes. So I found, like, a segment of an old, like, a National Geographic-type TV show that purports to show honey guides leading other animals, in this case, the honey badger, leading a honey badger to the hive, and the honey badger gets the thing. But then some people say this is not true, or that they have not observed this. They've only seen this,
with humans. Interesting.
Additionally, early writing about this old tradition kind of romanticized it maybe a little bit, because it would say, the humans make sure to leave one piece of the honeycomb behind for the honey guide bird. And if they did not do that, then the next time the honey guide would lead them into a lion's den or, you know, pit of snakes or whatever, right? So you always have to make sure to do this.
Oh my God.
Right.
It's a leprechaun bird. Oh,
but more recent anthropological research, like recent, like 2014, like recent, shows that at least today, the Hadza will often eat all the honeycomb, and then they take whatever they did not eat, and they actually burn it. And there's a video of somebody asking, so why are you doing this? He goes, well, I mean, if the bird were to eat it, the bird would get full and then wouldn't guide me to any more nests. So we're stringing the honey guide along to keep him hungry, so he'll lead me to more honey.
This is like being mischievous on both sides.
Yeah. There is, like, manipulation on both sides of this relationship. It is an uneasy partnership.
Yeah. The bird and the people are like, come on, we all knew what this is. Yeah.
Right. And to make you feel a little bit better about this, I want to stress that the honey guide, so we know what the honey guide, you know, how he interacts with humans.
Yeah.
Sounds like a cool guy. No.
Yeah.
The honey guide
like
is an a-hole.
He is.
Yeah, I bet.
The honey guide is an a-hole bird. Now, careful listeners of Good Job Brain know about a-hole birds.
Yes.
Like the cuckoo.
Yes, specific a-hole birds.
Yes. So, I mean, you discussed on an earlier show the cuckoo is what is called a brood parasite.
Mm. Yeah.
And that what that means is that the cuckoo does not raise its own eggs. The cuckoo goes around to other birds' nests and deposits the eggs in the other nests. So the honey guide also does this.
Oh,
the honey
my
guide
God.
Is also a brood parasite.
It's a crafty bird.
So the honey guide does not take care of its own children. It doesn't even build its own nest. It goes and finds a nest full of eggs of another bird and deposits its own babies in there and then beats it. And then the other birds are tricked into thinking that the honey guide is one of their children.
Right.
Yeah. Pragmatic.
However, the honey guide is the primo a-hole of all a-hole birds. Because the first thing a honey guide bird usually does when it hits up somebody else's nest is it checks to see if there's any other honey guide eggs in the nest. So if another honey guide has already been there
pulled
and laid an egg,
kicks them out.
Pulled the same thing, No, it punctures the egg with its beak.
Oh my god!
It pops a hole in it to try to kill it.
Yeah.
Then, if there's other eggs from the actual birds that built that nest, it will also puncture them too. But it knows the honey guide eggs, gets those first. Because it needs to kill off any potential other honey guides who will compete with it for the bees nests that it's going after. So it kills its own.
Oh my god!
Oh yeah. Oh. It gets worse.
Oh!
So, let's say, for example, that this attack did not work or didn't puncture all the eggs and the other, chicks are born. Well, the honey guide egg that's been left in this nest usually is born first. Uh-huh. All birds, well, most birds, let's say, I don't know if it's most birds, I'm just CYA here.
Yeah,
Birds are born blind, naked, and basically helpless.
Vulnerable.
Yeah, totally vulnerable. If you ever seen a baby chick that's just been born, it is gross. A little alien, and it's blind, it can't do anything, it can't fly. Honey guides, when they are born with a tiny, working, razor-sharp needle beak. And they sit there and wait, and as their little foster
siblings
are born, as soon as they hatch out of the egg, the blind, flightless baby honey guide goes over and brutally murders them. He grabs them, he bites them to death, he'll shake them around in his jaws until they're dead. One by one, kills all the other babies. So the parents come back, all the babies are dead except for their fake baby killed them all.
He's like, I don't know what happened.
They were like that when I got here.
Also, apparently the honey guides are generally bigger.
Yeah.
Or certainly like want more food. Yeah, they want more food than the babies that are in there anyway. So now these poor parents are like working overtime to feed this not their baby because it gets huge, right? For like a month. Until he finally leaves the nest.
At least he doesn't murder them, too.
You know what? He does not murder them.
That's a silver lining.
Yep. But just day one, stone cold killer right out of the egg.
Yeah.
Just killing all the babies.
It's like a Shakespeare tragedy.
Honey guy.
Oh my goodness.
What a crafty bird.
And then they go find their friends, the humans.
Yeah. Yeah. Just makes the human.
Air quote, friends.
Friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Note to other birds, we do not condone this behavior.
Right?
No.
I feel like we need to give little virtual awards, like Good Job Brain awards to these MVPs. This is most a-hole, man. Wow.
Well, Chris, please keep us informed. You are officially on the honey and bee beat for Good Job Brain.
If anything else pops up,
You're the head of the office there. Awesome.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pile-ups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
I've got a quiz for you guys, a liquids grab bag quiz with a science-y bent to it.
Oh, I hope you talk about pee, because I didn't research about pee.
I did not talk about pee. I did not talk about pee. That is a liquid. You're right. Pee is a liquid.
Science.
But other angles of science and physics. And yes, this is the non-pee-related science liquids quiz.
Okay.
Grab your buzzards.
Copyright.
Yes, copyright. First in an occasional series. All of these questions will be in some way, shape, or form about liquids. So here we go. Let's start off with one that may make you think a little bit. What is the difference... Scientifically speaking, what is the difference between a fluid and a liquid? Now, we use these interchangeably in colloquial speech, but they are, technically speaking, not the same thing. Karen.
Things in liquid form and things in gas form are both fluids.
You are correct. Yes, it's a little it's a little more expansive than that. Yes, a fluid is just the umbrella term for all substances which can flow.
Mm-hmm. Anything
that can flow. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the word fluid comes from fluere, Latin to flow. So basically, could you pump it through a pipe? could you pump it through a hose? So it includes liquids like water, and it also includes gases and plasmas. So here's the definition.
Well, you can put cake through a tube.
No, but you couldn't pump a hose full of cake. No. You would have to put cake in water.
Cake does not find its own level.
let me give you a more technical definition here, as opposed to could you pump it through a hose. That's my working definition.
Sounds like a challenge.
But a fluid is something that will flow, meaning it gives way to sheer force. And another way to think about it is it's something that will take on the shape of its container. It is a substance that will take on the shape of its container. So air, gas, it'll expand to fill the room. You put a liquid in a bowl, it'll take on the shape. Those are all fluids. Mm-hmm. Liquids are subset of fluids that can create their own surface. Mm-hmm. They are generally incompressible. Sure. So I can compress gas, but you can't really compress water. And most importantly, they can get things wet. I mean, it sounds silly to say it, but a liquid has a wetting thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Whereas a gas, a wetting property.
And also, and to prevent it, you can compress anything.
Yes. Yes. They
you
are
can compress anything you want.
They are very, very difficult.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Right.
Yes. So all liquids are fluids, but not all fluids are liquids.
Okay.
Now I'll put cake in a tube. Yeah. I feel like cake can do a lot of those things.
It might be a semi-solid.
Yeah, well, because it's full of air.
Cake would not take on the shape container. If I put a cake in a box, it's not going to expand to fill the box.
If we could figure out a way to get children of America to suck cake through a garden hose,
would
make millions of dollars. Hose cake.
You compress it into a box.
Hose cake.
It's like Go-Gurt, but it's cake.
Extrude it. It's like those Play-Doh things where you squeeze the cake and it becomes noodles.
Well, that's a good point, though, Dana. It's not could you fit it into a box. It's left on its own. Yes, you could squeeze cake into a box.
Yeah.
But if I put a piece of cake in a box, it's not going to expand and fill the box.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Where if I fill it with oxygen or water.
Mm-hmm. So
when solid water... I like to call it ice. When solid water passes directly to the gas phase, we'll call it steam, without going through the liquid phase, this process is known as... Karen was the only one ready to buzz in. Karen.
What? No, we all buzzed.
Everybody. Everybody. Sublimation.
Sublimation. Passing. You can go, it doesn't have to be water. If it's just anything that goes from a solid, passes through without being liquid at
any
point.
It's like freeze-dried food.
Freeze-dried food is probably the best known use in our world of sublimation. Yes. True or false? What we perceive as solid glass is actually an extremely slow-moving liquid.
True.
This is false.
They talk about how
patently false, but you will see this fact cited a lot.
I have heard that before.
Yeah.
I have heard that before.
I was taught that one as a kid.
I did trivia before you knew me.
Yeah, old glass on windows. The bottom is always a little bit thicker than the top.
Right, right, right.
That's right. And that's nothing more than just an artifact of the glass making process in years gone by.
Really?
That's right. The evidence for this has always been, well, if you look at windows in buildings that are hundreds of years old, why do you think they're fatter on the bottom? Or
because
why do you think it's ripply? Because that's just how they made the glass. You know, it came that way. It was made that way. You know, and a lot of people in the past have pointed to, glass doesn't have a traditional crystalline structure when it cools. And this is true. Like liquid glass, as it solidifies, it is unlike other materials, but it does become solid. You can't pump it through a hose.
I like that. That's our...
But this one, if this one comes up, feel free to actually somebody. This one, you may get asked this one at pub quiz, and be prepared to fight for this one. Glass is not a liquid.
I hope it doesn't come up.
Be prepared.
Oh, man. Yeah. How bad do you want that point?
By weight, which of the following has the highest percentage of liquid?
Ooh.
Mostly water.
Okay.
All right. These are all common fruits and vegetables here.
Oh.
So you tell me which one has, by weight, the highest percentage of water.
Okay.
Broccoli. grapes, oranges, tomatoes, or watermelons? Karen.
Grapes.
It is not grapes. In fact, grapes has the least out of all of these on this list.
See, I'm thinking of one grape. Are we talking about
it? Well, it's percentage.
Well, it's percentage. Oh.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter. Hey, whatever amount you have.
Yeah.
Chris.
Tomatoes.
It is tomatoes. Yeah. Yes. Tomatoes, by weight, 94% water.
Yeah.
Watermelon is only 92%. Oh. So it's not far below. Yeah. By weight, tomatoes have more water than watermelon.
They do.
They do. And they do. It makes sense if you think about it, because the rind
is so thin.
The rind is so heavy on a watermelon.
On a tomato.
On a tomato.
It's like a skin.
So thin. Yeah.
You wouldn't call it a rind.
For a little baseline here, iceberg lettuce, 96% water by weight. Yeah. Huh. Yeah.
Crunchy water.
Crunchy water.
Is that
makes
what they call
like
lettuce?
It more.
Yeah.
Crunchy water.
That's, you never call lettuce crunchy water?
My sister always called it that growing up.
Water. Yeah. This is it could be a good marketing campaign.
Yeah.
What are the only two chemical elements that are liquid at standard temperature and pressure?
Oh.
This is a good one to know.
Yes. Well, okay.
Chris.
Mercury.
Mercury is one.
And the other...
I would also have accepted Quicksilver.
Oh, sure. Yes. Okay. Because you're a million years old.
Oh.
This is a good one to know, and Karen.
Iodine.
Not iodine. You're so close. Oh, you're very close.
Oh, really?
It's in the same family. It's...
What?
Bromine.
Oh,
bromine. Bromine is, it is.
Really?
It's very close to iodine and chlorine. It's reddish, brownish.
Oh, but
it's,
iodine's natural, like powder or something? Like
solid.
Solid,
right,
okay.
Right. Solid. So here's a mnemonic for you guys, how we can remember these two, all right? If you're a Marvel Comics fan, you know that Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver are siblings, okay? Uh-huh. So you're just thinking, you're asking the Scarlet Witch, like, is Quicksilver
your brother?
Yeah, he's my bro. He's bro mine.
Bro mine.
Wow.
So bromine,
and
mercury.
And so what's the mnemonic we can use to remember this?
You have to be a Marvel Comics nerd.
Apparently,
or recruit one to your team.
Or you can just memorize that there are two things.
What about, a bro who is a merman, and so he lives in liquid, and so he's mer-bro, and that's how...
And he likes silver things.
Yeah, and he likes... Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
He wants to be part of your world.
Sure, he is. Yeah. Right. But he's part of the liquid world.
He drives
a Toyota. But he wants to be part of the solid world. Not helping. I don't know where you're going with this.
Instead of a Mercury.
Each, you know what?
Oh, God.
Everyone can come up with his or her own mnemonic.
Right.
Whatever works for you. Sure. All right, last one. Here we go. This is
still hot.
Still hot in here.
Woo!
A little bit of a brain teaser for you guys here. Okay. Let's say you have a tanker truck meant to carry water.
Ideal.
Giant tanker truck. It's empty. You need to fill it up with water.
Oh.
All right? Now you've got a hose.
Sure.
Tell me.
This seems like a terrible idea.
Does it use more energy to run the hose up to the top of the tank and fill it from the top? Or does it use more energy to run the hose to the bottom of the tank and fill it from the bottom?
Does it use more water? More
energy to pump the hose up to the top of the truck, fill it from the top, or more energy to just connect the hose to the bottom and just fill it straight from the bottom?
Okay, all right. I think I have
And please, be prepared to defend your answer.
I have a pseudoscientific.
All right, Chris, please.
So if you were to put it into the bottom of the truck and fill it from the bottom, you're putting the water in at the bottom, which means that not only do you have to put the water, you have to use the energy to put the water in, but you have to use the energy to force all the other water up, because it has to put it underneath the water and thus push the water up. So you've got to pump harder to get the water in there to also displace the other water as you're putting it in. But if you were to fill it up from the top, you're
gravity.
Just dropping it in, gravity takes it down, it just fills right up. So it would seem to me as if filling it from the top would be the most efficient way of putting the water in.
So I think this is a trick question. I think that's what I would think. So I'm going to go
the
with
Joe
filling
Wads
from
answer.
The... Yeah, from the top. So
filling it from the bottom is
filling
just
from the bottom.
Less energy.
And I think it's something about displacing the air and pushing the air out. I don't know.
Okay.
Dana's the tiebreaker here.
So I'll say was like, oh, the energy to get to the top of the hose, like to travel up the hose. Like maybe that's more, except it's in a small, I'll say uses more energy from the bottom.
Okay.
I think we all, what Chris said, I guess.
So Chris and Dana say uses more energy from the bottom.
Yeah.
With the reasoning being you've got to lift up all the water.
Sure.
Karen says more energy.
To fill
from the top, just to be contrary.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
I think that's it. Karen, you are correct.
Yes.
Just for being contrary.
Said it was a trick question.
I didn't say it was a trick question.
Oh, no.
You said it was a trick question.
Brain teaser.
You said it was a trick question.
Okay.
Most people, their instinct if you fill it from the bottom, it's got to push up all that other water. So, it'll let gravity do your work for you.
Is that how water works?
That is not how it works. So, I'll explain why the other answer isn't correct. So if you're filling it from the top, every bit of water that you put in the tank, you've got to force up the height of the tanker into the hose. Every little bit has to have the energy to push it up the hose and into the top of the tank before it gets in there.
Okay.
Whereas if you fill it from the bottom, when you're filling from the bottom of the tank, you only need enough force to displace the column of water directly above the opening. So it's just however wide the diameter of your tube is, that's how much you have to displace. So when it's virtually empty, you don't displace any. So it actually uses more energy to fill it from the top, less energy to fill it from the bottom.
Huh.
I did say the hose thing.
Yeah.
I was wrong for the wrong reasons.
The first time I heard that one, I had the exact same answer and the exact same reasoning.
Huh.
Maybe the cake through the hose would be faster.
Right.
Yeah, because you have
to. What about we have to fill the tanker with cake?
I mean, cake is heavier than water. I think you have to displace more than just that.
Yeah. Well, when we find the tanker truck.
The canker truck. It's a cake tanker. A canker.
All right. Well, done, guys.
And rolling it down the old highway.
All right.
All right, let's take a quick break. A word from our sponsor.
Are you looking for a podcast that your whole family can enjoy that asks the deep philosophical questions like, do trees fart?
If you are, then you'll love Tumble, a science podcast for kids. I'm Lindsay.
And I'm Marshall. Join us as we explore stories of science discovery, from butts to animals, dinosaurs, astronomy, and everything in between.
You'll love these stories, and you'll learn something new.
Find and follow Tumble Science Podcast for Kids wherever you get your podcasts, or at sciencepodcastforkids.com.
You can spend less time staying in the know about all things gaming and get more time to actually play the games you love with the IGN Daily Update podcast. All you need is a few minutes to hear the latest from IGN on the world of video games, movies, and television with news, previews, and reviews. You'll hear everything from Comic-Con coverage to the huge Diablo 4 launch. So listen and subscribe to the IGN Daily Update wherever you get your podcasts. That's the IGN Daily Update, wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Good Job Brain. Smooth puzzles, smart trivia. Good Job Brain.
So this episode is about liquids, and I'm going to talk about a beverage, so a drinkable liquid. And what do you think the following cities have in common? Shanghai, London, Chicago, New York City, and Seoul. What do you think those five cities have in common?
With a drinkable beverage?
Related to a drinkable beverage.
I'm going to guess like those are the top beer drinking cities in the world.
Oh, I was gonna say Coca-Cola drinking cities in the world. I don't know.
I figure like Atlanta would be in there.
True.
Or other southern
the
cities.
South.
Yeah, the South.
I'm not sure.
Pass. In order, Seoul, New York City, Shanghai, London, and Chicago have the most number of Starbucks locations. Seattle is not even top five.
No.
It's not that big of a city.
It's not that big of a city. And also, there's a lot of other coffee places.
Yeah,
Seoul, 284 stores.
Oh.
This is as of recently. You know, next week maybe they have more stories.
Sure.
But Seoul right now has more stores than New York City. Has 7 more stores than New York City.
Wow.
Okay.
And that's a lot. So 284 stores in Seoul in South Korea versus what you would think has a lot of Starbucks stores, which is Seattle, 142. So I'm going to talk about a little bit about Starbucks, which we talk a lot about in passing. We talk about the logo, which is the Melusine.
Melusine.
Yeah. Who's a siren, has the split tail. We talked about how that animal might breed, theoretically, before.
not strictly speaking about Starbucks, but yes, we did. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I did not know this, but we record here in Berkeley most of the time, and Starbucks, the history of Starbucks is very dependent on another coffee chain or a coffee store, and that is Pete's.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I had no idea that the Pete's here, the one that I've gone to, is the first Pete's of the world.
Yeah. Which one is that?
The one on Vine.
In North Berkeley.
Huh.
Pete's started by Alfred Pete, who is born in Holland. So this is around in the 1960s, 1970s, that before then, there was no such thing as gourmet coffee or coffee mm-hmm. was like instant. It was crystals. Like it was kind of, everybody was just okay drinking bad coffee or what we think now is bad coffee. Mm-hmm. Until Alfred P was like, oh, wow. when he came to America, he's like, wow, this coffee is really crappy. Not good. So he, from what he learned, from Europe and started his store, Pete's, which, educated, also provided the public with this is what coffee should be like. We have the beans, we roast the beans, we grind the beans, and we, the whole process. And before this, it was not a thing.
Yeah. Coffee was
not a thing. And so, Starbucks, the founders of Starbucks saw this and was like, you know what? This is the right way for coffee. No more, we should have
boutique-y.
We should have the beans that we roast in-house and we grind the beans and we serve coffee there. Not, everything is kind of more boutique-y, more handmade.
Had they started Starbucks by that point?
No, it was because they're inspired by Pete's. And so first Starbucks opened in 1971. They weren't selling drinks. They were just selling machinery and equipment to do such things.
Oh.
So 10 years later, a man called Howard Schultz was hired as the director of retail operations. And he came to the conclusion, guys, you know what? We would probably make more money selling the drinks instead of selling the equipment or the beans for people to do this at home or to do for other stores. And so he couldn't convince the original Starbucks owners that this idea is right or that this is something to pursue. So he left and he started his own chain of coffee bars. And this is in 1986. The next year, the owners of the original Starbucks sold that business to Howard Schultz. And so now he has the Starbucks name.
Right.
He now changed all of his coffee bars to Starbucks. And now Starbucks became the store that sold beverages.
Yeah.
Regardless of how you feel about Starbucks, it's very, very smart business moves. What Starbucks continued to do sells food. It sells alcohol. Now I believe the Brooklyn.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So the Brooklyn Starbucks is now doing like Starbucks evening, where they have
Starbucks after dark,
where they have a wine tasting, the drink Frappuccino. Frappuccino was not Starbucks. It was a coffee chain called Coffee Connection in Boston or in Massachusetts, where they had the name Frappuccino. They sold ice blended drinks that they call that. They got acquired by Starbucks and Starbucks got the name Frappuccino. Genius is also convincing the public that like coffee is no longer a morning drink. Coffee is an all day drink in different forms. You might go to Starbucks and you might see that they sell bottled water. They own that company. Ethos Water, they acquired that company. Starbucks has their own music production house where they, I think they did a collaboration with like Pavarotti or with like opera. And so now they also, they acquired, it was a San Francisco music production house called, I think, Hear Me. Hear Music.
It's about controlling the experience.
Yes,
it's about controlling it.
Here's the fun part.
I bought a CD at Starbucks once. I'm not going to lie. Multiples.
And they have those iTunes like partnerships and stuff.
Yeah.
So here's what's interesting.
Oh, now they'll give you a
a
video game. We'll give you an app.
Yeah.
You'll be like, oh, this app is free this month at Starbucks. Yeah.
In Seattle, though, they have what they call local washed stores. Quote, local washed, where they have these experimental Starbucks locations, but they call them stealth Starbucks. They're coffee houses. They're owned by Starbucks, but their branding is very minimal. And they do things like they host poetry jams or something like more coffee culture, coffee house culture stuff. It's owned by Starbucks, but they're kind of like,
it's called bar stucks.
That's where they try out things. Yeah. And they call it local wash.
Huh.
To try to make it look more like it's part of the neighborhood than like a mega chain.
Right. I mean, without putting the company down, they're probably somewhat a victim of their own success too. Like that they need to sort of have this stealth roots, you know, appeal. Mm.
It's fingers of Starbucks. Just it's in so many pies, K-cups, licensing.
Right.
There's a whole collectible culture with their city coffee mugs that, like, I know people are shipping, you know, or buying them from one.
Dad collects their little cards, the little that you can load up with the money. And I have learned through my dad, there's a whole subculture of the Starbucks card collectors.
Of course there is.
Because of course there is.
Yeah.
Starbucks app. I mean, especially like, you know, being Disney fans, the Disney Starbucks collaboration and also the mugs. They have Disney parks specific that you can only buy in the parks from the in the park Starbucks. I know people who would fill up their suitcases and then then they'll go send it to people or whatever. It's, and my last note about Starbucks is there is a culture of people who get their joy from creating new menu items or what they call secret menu what is available on the Starbucks menu.
Get a vanilla frappuccino and then you'll put the turkey sandwich in it.
So you call it
the turkuccino.
And some of these recipes are
that. It's copyrighted by me.
Okay. Turkuccino is yours.
You'll get all the proceeds from that.
People have learned to hack. They say that baristas also do this too. Like they come up with new flavors.
Yeah, sure.
But you know, I
hate this whole movement. Really? I hate this entire movement.
Oh, the secret menu movement.
Did you know if you ask for this, they'll make it for you?
Yeah,
and, oh, I hate it.
Yeah,
I hate
it. Will.
Because there's always somebody who's in front of me in line. Given the barista this, oh no, it's two pumps of this and it's this, and they get mad if they don't know the special code name.
Right.
And I'm like, come on, just order off the menu, man.
Wow.
If they put that on the menu, they'd never order it again because they gotta get their secret. Yeah, you're right. There are people who take it to a little bit of an extreme.
Sorry, you touched a nerve there with me.
Wow. Like, Colin, not in the secret menus. You can go to In-N-Out Burger.
From teas to frappuccinos to hot drinks, you can make, like, there's a Starbucks secret menu. .net. And it's like Almond Joy Frappuccino, where you have to ask for the almond milk instead of the water. Lucky Charms Frappuccino.
One pump of Leprechaun.
Yeah,
subset of cereal inspired.
What's a Lucky Charms?
Okay.
Yeah.
And this is actually submitted by a barista. So, so I'm sure these people are having fun. Like, what else weird stuff? So a cream based Frappuccino, add white mocha syrup, one pump for tall, 1.5 pump for grande, 2 pumps for venti. Mm-hmm. Add marshmallow syrup, blend, and top with whipped cream.
Oh, okay. So vanilla and marshmallow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
Why don't you just ask for a frappuccino, half vanilla, half marshmallow?
Well,
you gotta be a jerk about it. Be like, I want my Lucky Charms.
Captain Crunch. It says it really tastes like...
Okay.
It really tears the roof of your mouth.
So strawberry and cream frappuccino, add caramel syrup, add toffee syrup, add hazelnut syrup.
Okay.
Optional. Add Java chips if you want some crunch.
I thought you were going to say optional coffee. Yeah. You know,
I think a strawberry cream frappuccino doesn't have any coffee in it anyway.
That's the road you're out.
Coffee.
Yeah. I really need to pick me up and go in there and get your frappuccino and you come out. It's like, I still feel like garbage. Yeah. I think I just ingested 2,000 calories of sugar and I'm not even awake. I
feel real good for like 10 minutes.
So there you go. Some quick tidbits about Starbucks.
If you want to order off the secret menu, the lesson is you go up to the counter, then you look behind you to see if Colin is behind you. And if he's not, you are free to
proceed.
Order off the secret menu.
Or I would say, I mean, for reals though.
Oh.
Low traffic day.
Yeah.
Tell
yeah.
the barista, hey, yeah. you know what? Oh, yeah, I want to yeah. try out something. I was wondering if you could help me.
Right.
And you give them maybe a written thing, like a one pump or one, you know, like, and then.
Yeah.
And thanks
but
for helping.
But you're right.
Me.
Not if yeah. there's a huge line.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
And maybe the person's
then
like,
say,
you know,
find the secret menu thing.
This seems kind of fun. Like, yeah. maybe they'll work with you. I don't know. Yep. Just always be courteous.
Yeah. 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 Just
know. At work, the company that, like, supplies our coffee started bringing in, because it's so hot, they also started bringing in iced coffee. Iced coffee concentrate.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, box. Yeah.
You
yeah.
cannot drink yeah. that by itself.
No, oh, you no, cannot. No. And the I thing tried. Is, though, but there's no instructions on the box to tell me what to do. So I'm like, okay, I'll, I don't know, half coffee, half water or something. I drink this thing, and the rest of the day, I'm just like...
It's like one third.
Yeah.
It's like one to two.
It might even be four to one.
Yeah. It's four to one. It definitely wasn't one to one that I put in there.
All right, and we have one last segment. Dana?
The Coke or Pepsi challenge? Is that
challenge?
The Coke
there
or Pepsi.
There is something called this.
Yeah.
The Pepsi challenge.
Is it, yeah. So there's no Coke okay. challenge.
This
How about
is, yeah.
the Coke or Pepsi contest?
Is that a quiz?
Right. Oh, it has to be a question.
That was a Pepsi thing.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, yes.
Okay. That's a number two move.
That is. That is. Yeah.
You don't need to do that if you're number one.
Yeah.
yeah.
Do you think we're better than the best soda?
Like, it's like, oh no, it's really like, oh, what do you like better? Well, Coke. I like Coke better. Coke is the one that tastes better. Oh, okay. Well, here, tell me which one is Coke. And they'll be like, oh, this is the good one right here. This is the best one.
And they're like, the reveal. It's right, like, you drink a Pepsi.
Yep. And like, that chicken what? Sandwich was McDonald's.
Yeah, totally.
And then what? Okay.
Then they all just laugh at them, I think.
Yeah.
They go home,
they're like, oh, I love Pepsi.
They're like, whatever, you drink Pepsi.
Focus.
All right. So unlike the taste test.
Yeah.
I will, I'll say a celebrity's name and you tell me whether or not they endorse Coke or Pepsi.
Okay.
And so I checked.
At any time in history or currently?
Has there been celebrities who endorsed both?
Oh.
I looked. I couldn't find any.
Like at different times of the
life? I bet there haven't.
I was trying to find some. I couldn't find any.
I bet their lawyers really locked that down.
They lock it down. All right. So we'll do this kind of differently. We'll go around and you'll each get a turn with a different celebrity.
Oh, all
right.
Spotlight.
On the spot.
Yeah, spotlight.
Okay.
And we can say if the other person is wrong though.
Oh yeah.
Well, it's 50-50. It's going to be the other
yeah,
one.
Yeah. So that's why
we can guess. We can place bets. We'll get our dollars.
Yeah. You guys can heckle each other and add more pressure. All right.
Yep.
All right. We'll start with. Karen. We'll start with Karen.
Dun dun.
Beyonce Knowles.
Pepsi.
You guys believe her?
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
She's right. Chris Taylor Swift.
Coke.
You guys, yes?
Oh, yeah.
I believe it's Coke.
It is Coke.
Living
it
in the South?
Coke. Diet Coke.
Yeah.
Specifically.
Colin, Magic Johnson.
Oh, I think Magic was Pepsi.
What do you guys think?
Yes.
Yes.
Coke.
Karen.
Back the wrong horse.
Christina Aguilera.
Coke.
Pepsi.
I want to say Coke because,
oh. I think it's Pepsi.
I think it's Pepsi too.
It is Pepsi. Chris.
Yes.
Danica Patrick.
Who's that?
The race car
behind
driver.
Who is that? Coke. NASCAR, the South, Coke.
What do you guys think?
I actually don't know. Yeah, sure, why not?
I say Pepsi.
Coke.
Oh, Coke. You are South.
Yeah.
Driving.
How about, Colin, how about Ryan Seacrest?
Oh, okay. Well, I know that Coke sponsored the show, but then I'll say Coke.
Yes.
Because
yes.
I know they were like an American Idol. They were an American Idol sponsor.
Yeah, American Idol was Coke.
Yeah, it's Coke.
Okay.
Good reasoning. Justin Timberlake, Karen.
Gotta be Coke.
No, it's Pepsi.
Oh, really?
What?
I'm pretty sure.
I don't know.
I thought he like sang a song for it too.
Oh, maybe I'm wrong.
It's Pepsi.
Okay.
Wow. Pepsi has all the pop stars except for Taylor Swift.
Chris, David Beckham.
They have Pepsi in the UK.
He lives here now.
Whatever. I'll go with Coke.
I'll say Coke as well. Global superstar.
Yeah. Too expensive for Pepsi.
Pepsi.
Really?
Pepsi.
Wow. Not too expensive for Pepsi. We should get him to come on the show, apparently.
Yeah. Colin, Kanye West.
Oh, Kanye. I'll say Coca-Cola.
No opinion? What do you guys think?
Yeah, sure. I'll say Coca-Cola.
Pepsi.
Pepsi. Mm. Now, is the answer to any of these going to be RC Cola? No,
there are no tricks. No. I thought about it. I was going to do Coke, Pepsi, or milk, but everyone.
Everyone's on milk.
Yeah. Too much overlap.
All right, last one. Karen, Maroon 5.
Oh.
Well, I would say Adam Levine is Starbucks, because Starbucks sponsors The Voice.
Interesting.
Uh-huh.
Man, I almost want to say Pepsi because I feel like everything is Pepsi. I can't. Pepsi.
It is Coke.
Ah! But,
so the rule of thumb, like mostly, is that Coca-Cola does athletes and Pepsi does entertainers.
Huh.
But I pulled the ones where it was like a little bit fuzzy,
sure.
Mostly.
Interesting. But, yeah, because I'm thinking about like celebrity, like other than Taylor Swift, I can't name a person who, like, a pop star who does Coke commercials.
I see. Oh, I see. No, sure. Yeah, because Michael Jackson did.
Yeah.
Pepsi. Yeah.
Ray Charles did Diet Pepsi.
Yeah. Nicki Minaj is Pepsi. Yeah. Britney Spears was Pepsi.
Okay.
Pink was Pepsi.
They do, like,
Pop stars. Every I can't think of, it's so weird. Oh. I think of Coke ads, and they're all very, not that celebrity heavy, except for Taylor Swift. I mean, because they have, like, the world kind of, peace and love kind of deal.
I do associate Pepsi ads in general more with the celebrity endorsement, it just broadly.
Mm-hmm.
Coke does many, many athletes.
Hmm.
It's mostly athletes.
Yeah, like, well, I mean, the classic, right? The Mean Joe Green.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Going, I didn't know.
Dating myself there.
Is that the one with the little kid?
Yeah, and the towel. And yeah.
I only know it from the Futurama parody.
Yes, yes.
Cool. Good job, you guys.
All right.
Wow, okay.
All right. Oh, man. We're melting here. time to end the show. Thank you guys for joining me. Thank you guys, listeners, for listening in. Hope you learned a lot of stuff about Honey Guides, the newly crowned a-hole bird of the forever. Science liquids, drinkable liquids, fictional liquids. You can find our show on iTunes, on Stitcher, on SoundCloud, on Spotify, and on our website, goodjobbrain.com. Don't forget, Good Job Live, October 3rd. You can get your tickets, and we'll see you guys next week.
Bye. Bye.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.